Well, today I'm going to invite our missionaries from Brazil. Hillary and Aldair are going to be able to come up and join me today. We're going to do something a little bit different today. And you picked a good Sunday to be here. We are thrilled to have them here with us. And can you just let them know and honor them today as they come? Yes, Hillary and Aldair are missionaries of Brazil. In just a minute, we're going to get into a subject and speak on it together, and I'll explain more about that in just a minute. But first, I want to give them a chance just to greet you and to give you an update of what's happening in Manaus and Brazil and throughout the Amazon region and what God's doing there.
Good morning. Well, it is a privilege to be here, and I'm happy to see all of you. It's been quite a journey the last couple of months. Many of you know that my mother passed away recently, and she was a member here of Destiny Church. And so we didn't expect to be here right now, but we are, and so we're so glad to be able to share a little bit with you. Our ministry is called Passion and Compassion, and we are in Manaus, Brazil, in the Amazon region of Brazil. And many of you know about the ministry there. Some of you may not know about the ministry, so I'll kind of give you a little bit of an update. We have a church base there with all the ministries a church has, and then we also have a lot of social ministries, ministries that extend into the community, as well as mission bases on the Amazon River. And one of the new things that's happened in the last year is we have built a small church in an outlying region of Manaus. It's outside of the city. It's a jungle area. And there's a small community of people who are there, and so we have some co-laborers in the faith that are from our church who are working with those people there. We hope to eventually maybe set up a school for the kids in that area, because during the rainy season, they cannot get out to go to school because it gets very muddy. And then we also are hoping that eventually we can transform. We have quite a few acres of land out there and make it a campground for other churches to use, for us to use, for our missions training schools and things. So we're really excited about that. We do still have our mission base in the community of Chimbo on the river. And then we have a missionary couple who they've been working in Chimbo for several years as missionaries. And they're getting ready to go into deep into the jungle. In the end of January, they have set dates where we're going to be sending them to an area of the Amazon River that's 6 days by boat from where we are. So it's really far. And it's only considered to be 3% evangelized. So it is an unreached area of the world, and they're going to be going there to spread the gospel. And so we're really excited about that. Our Casa dos Filhos project with children is going well. We are in the process of getting its own, like, 501c3, because there's a lot of opportunities of what God is doing. And then with our Hosea project, which we work with women who are at risk in prostitution, and also with working against human trafficking, we have been privileged to have a seat on the Human Rights Council, Advisory Council for the State of the Amazonas. And through that, we have been given the opportunity to doors have been opened to go into the public school system. And so we have, a couple of weeks ago, we were given notice that they were going to allow us to do this. And so beginning in September, we have a team who's been trained to go in and teach prevention, human trafficking prevention in the public school system to middle schoolers and high schoolers. And so we are blown away. I mean, this is a church.
That's an awesome thing. Don't you think that's an awesome thing? Yeah.
Yeah. So pray for our team. Pray for God's protection. And we're excited as well because through this opportunity, you know, the largest international human trafficking route in South America cuts through the Amazon. And kids are trafficked every day, young people are, for many reasons, for organs, for sex, for slave labor, for lots of things. So we're hoping to be able to save some young people through prevention. So pray with us about that.
Awesome, awesome. Now, before we get going, is there anybody else today? I saw a few slip in. We have any other people here today who you have lived in Brazil or from Brazil? Anybody raise your hand if you're from Brazil? Yeah.
Hey.
Let's welcome all these guys right here. Yes. So you're in for a treat today. You're going to be hearing some Portuguese today and English. And so you're in an awesome spot today. We're glad you're here. Today, before we get started, I just want to quickly, I know a lot of you do know them and some of you don't. So I just want to kind of give you quickly a little bit briefing of our history together. Back when I was, many years ago, when I was a youth pastor for the first time, we actually had a thriving youth group there, and I wanted to take a group on a missions trip of our older students, especially our young adults. And I had asked Hillary to organize that trip, working with some of our fellowship churches over there in Brazil, and she organized a great trip. We went across there, and we were meeting some other local churches that were there in Brazil, and some of their young adults as well were going to partner with us, and we were going to go down the Amazon River. Took a trip down the Amazon River on a two-story boat, sleeping in hammocks, and it was an awesome adventure going from village to village and ministering and just seeing God work there. But when we went, Hillary was single, and there was this young stud youth pastor from another church. He was single as well. His name was Aldai. And he God had saved him, and he was working for the local church there. And we went, and how many know God had a love connection? We're just waiting right there. And so even though they denied it, you know, they denied, oh, there was nothing going on that trip, Pastor Gene. We were keeping it, you know, holy before the Lord. And but I did my best. You know, I was sensing God was doing something. And so I did my best to make sure Aldai had to sit by Hillary every time we had a chance. And we'd be like riding in the car, and I'd be like, no, you sit back here in the back. And he's like, no, Pastor Gene, no, no, you know, sweating back there. And I'd look back, and I'd be laughing. He's sweating big drops of sweat because he was so nervous. And he'll tell you, no, no, no. But yes, he did. But it was awesome. God brought their hearts together after that trip. And a year later, I had a chance on doing their wedding ceremony here in the U.S., married them, and now they have two lovely children who are here today. Are they in the service this morning? Where's Liam and Addie? Are you here, guys, here? Stand up. Come wave at me. Yeah, Liam and Addie, they're two children.
Liam's in class.
Liam's back in classroom. All right. So if you see the young guy coming out of classroom because he got kicked out, that's Liam. Okay, he's awesome. No, he's an awesome kid. I love him. He loves football. Yes, yes. So... for whatever reason, he likes the Chiefs, so you guys pray for him, okay? All right.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Well, it's good to have you guys here. All the greet us this morning.
Bom dia.
Good morning.
Bom dia.
I don't need to translate. Português.
É uma alegria estar aqui de volta com vocês.
It's a joy to be back here with you.
De fato, nós já temos uma jornada.
And we truly have a journey together.
Sempre... quando nós retornamos, traz à memória o momento do início dessa igreja.
Every time that we're back, my memory goes back to when this church began.
O nosso início lá na missão também.
And our beginning on the mission trip as well.
E meu coração se enche de gratidão a Deus por tudo isso.
And my heart is full of gratitude for all of this.
E parte do que o Pastor Gene falou é verdade.
And so part of what Pastor Gene said is true.
Sobre nossa... Mas é verdade, ele ficava todo tempo pedindo para me sentar com a Hillary.
No, it's true. Every time he would ask me to sit back by Hillary.
Ele é muito bom nisso.
He's really good at that.
Mas na verdade a Hillary que começou todo o diálogo comigo.
I'm not translating that because it's not true. He said the truth is Hillary's one that started all of it.
Yeah, she started all. So she started messaging me and try to talk to me. And
do you think that's true?
In the beginning, I don't want to talk to her, but you know, later I'm like, yeah, I'm going to give this girl a chance. Lord. And later...
He's a mess. Hey, we are before God and the people of God. You have to tell the truth.
I'm joking. But she started... Mas é bom estar aqui com vocês.
But it's good to be here with you.
Eu vou estar falando em português.
So I'm going to speak in Portuguese.
Porque nós temos irmãos em português aqui. Então vai ser
because
bom
we have
eles.
Brothers and sisters that speak Portuguese here.
E é bom.
So it's good.
Awesome. Well, when we started, first had the vision to start Destiny, went with Aldai and I and Hillary, we prayed and they just really prayed with us and agreed with us as we started this. And then a few years later, we were feeling God leading them to start a home base there in Manaus and what God was going to do. We agreed with them in prayer as well, long before it ever started. So you see the history that we have together. This is our spiritual family, and I would do anything for this family. I love them very much, and they're our spiritual sons and daughters of this house. And one more time, can you welcome them here before we get started? Yeah. Today, I asked Hillary and Aldai to join us in this talk. We were having this discussion about something that's very, very important, I believe, that's relevant, that's a really hot topic that's going on right now in our society today. And as we were having this discussion, I really felt prompted by the Holy Spirit that we needed to have this discussion openly in front of you and allow you to come in and hear the hearts of the pastors. Is that all right? Because just to hear the pastor's heart, as we would, this is the conversation we're going to have today is the same conversation we would have behind closed doors, because our hearts are really burdened for some dangerous trends that is happening in the church today that we got to be careful of, that we are being wise, that we're being more mature than some of the things that are happening. What we see now more than ever, because of social media especially, we're seeing a falling away of Christian authors, Christian worship leaders who are popular and have great followings, even Christian pastors who are denouncing their faith, who are leaving the way they believe, denouncing that they believe the Bible to be absolute truth. And they're falling away, and they're trying to take people with them. They're trying to encourage people to follow them. And it's a very much a dangerous thing, because we're in a society here in America, and I know this is, it becomes the same problem in Brazil, is where we are idolizing the wrong people. Mm-hmm. And we have a tendency to idolize people who have, just because they have a certain following on Instagram, or they have so many followers, or they have a national audience, or they're working for a national ministry that, or a worldwide ministry, that we begin to idolize them, and they have a song that we really like, and then all of a sudden we're following them. And the danger is this, is that we're making idols out of the wrong people. And that we see this danger in this culture, that we're lifting up worship leaders, authors, and pastors, and then they're falling away, and they're taking people with them. Or they're muddying the water of theology, and people don't know what to believe is truth. People don't know what's real, what's not real. Is this the same problem we're having in Brazil as we have here in America?
Yeah. Na verdade, esse é um problema em todo o mundo hoje, né?
The truth is, this is a problem in the whole world.
E no Brasil não é diferente.
In Brazil, it's not any different.
Nos últimos 10 anos, mais ou menos.
In the last 10 years, more or less.
Nós temos visto isso com mais frequência.
We've seen it more frequently.
Mas nos últimos 3 anos, mais frequente.
But in the last 3 years, even more frequently.
Pastores influentes, autores...
influential pastors and authors,
líderes de adoração,
worship leaders,
indo em público e falando que estão deixando a fé,
they're publicly saying they're leaving the faith,
que não acreditam mais,
or that they don't believe that way anymore.
Alguns negam que estão negando a fé.
Some will say that they'll deny that they're denying the faith.
Mas que eles não acreditam mais como acreditavam antes.
And they'll say, well, they just don't believe the way they believed before.
Alguns até falam, olha, nós pregamos, lutamos assim por muitos anos.
Some even say, you know, we preached and we fought this way for many years.
Mas agora tudo mudou, muita coisa mudou.
But now many things have changed.
E quando na verdade o que mudou?
But the truth is, what changed?
É apenas sua perspectiva da realidade, né?
Was just their perspective of reality.
O que tem acontecido nesse tempo,
and
e
so
aí
what's happened during this time,
já entrando no tópico, né?
As we kind of get into this topic.
Na verdade, esse tópico é muito grande.
But the truth is, this topic's really, really big.
Nós poderíamos passar aqui algumas horas conversando sobre isso.
We could spend hours here talking about it.
Falando sobre a problemática, soluções.
Talking about the problems of it and the solutions to it.
Mas um dos grandes problemas, problema com relação a isso.
But one of the big problems in relationship to this.
É que na verdade pessoas estão deixando suas ideias, perspectivas como absolutas e relativizando a palavra.
So what's happening is that people are making their ideas and their perspective absolute, and they're making the scriptures, the word of God, relative.
Na verdade, suas emoções são elevadas a níveis absolutos.
They've,
né,
made their emotions out to a level of absoluteness.
Nós estamos vivendo num tempo de revolução afetiva.
We're living in a time that's a revolution in our affections or our emotions.
E tudo tem que estar conectado com aquilo que sentimos.
And so everything has to be connected to what we feel.
E, inclusive, a Bíblia é, ela é adaptada àquilo que sentimos.
And including we end up adapting the Bible to what we feel.
Ou interpretamos de uma outra forma aquilo que não concordamos.
Or we'll interpret it another way because we don't agree.
Augustinho, Santo Agostinho fala algo muito interessante.
Saint Augustine said something very interesting.
Se você pega do evangelho só aquilo que agrada a você,
he said if you take from the gospel only what pleases you,
você não está abraçando o evangelho.
Then you have not embraced the gospel.
Você abraçou um tipo de evangelho.
You have embraced a type of the gospel.
Que é bom para você.
That
só.
Is good for you only.
Então, isso tem acontecido no Brasil.
Brazil,
e agora, como o pastor Jim mencionou, tem estado em evidência por conta das redes, mídias sociais.
It's even more evident today because of social media.
Vai, não sendo pessimista aqui,
so not to be pessimistic here,
mas segundo a palavra,
but according to the word,
isso vai piorar.
It's just gonna get worse.
Right. And I see the dangers we have. Let's take Christian authors just for one example. We have a lot of great Christian authors, and I'm for the Christian authors. I'm not bashing Christian authors. I have a lot of friends who have wrote a lot of powerful books that are helpful. But what happens is sometimes we will get a book that gets really hot. People start sharing it, and people, got to read this book, got to read it. Oh, it's changed my life, blah, blah, blah. And they start getting excited about this book. They're sharing it on social media, and all of a sudden this person's book takes off like wildfire, and then we get a hold, we got to get a hold of that book. We can't read it enough. And then when we read it, we take the value of that book, that author, and the opinion of that author in that book, and we hold it in a higher value than we do the Word of God. That is dangerous, people. That is something we cannot do as the Christians. We cannot value any other book higher than the book, the Word of God. We must solidify this in our hearts, in our mind, that there is no other book that's going to be written from now on that will replace this book. There's books that can help you have revelation, that can encourage you, and all those are great things, but the book is what we got to value the most. And what a sad state is, we'll order that book, and we'll overnight it because everybody's talking about how good it is. We'll read it in just a couple of days, and then we go on and brag about how it's changing us and how good it was, but yet our Bible will get dust, and we'll never read it, and we never get on and talk about how this is changing our life. There's something wrong with that. That is a trap of the enemy. That's the enemy wanting to deceive us. And then we have somebody who had an experience with God. They wrote about it, and a lot about what they write is true, but because of their theology is not mature yet, they will share things that don't line up correctly with God's word, and therefore we will take that opinion, and that will begin to sway people to believe a certain way that doesn't line up with the word of God. So let me just tell you this, no matter if it's me preaching, whether it's whoever's preaching, whoever's reading, who's writing the next hot book, whatever it is, everything should be backed by the word of the Lord. If you ever hear me preach anything that I cannot back up by scripture, take that and let it go out one ear and out the other, okay? Because it's not worth anything. The only thing that will last is what's written in the word of the Lord. Now, God will give us insight. God will give us creative ways of sharing that. Jesus was the most creative person in sharing the gospel. I mean, but listen, it's got to be founded on the word of God. And we can't allow these people to come along, and we get more excited about authors and worship leaders than we do about God himself and about his word, which will bring everlasting life to us. Amen. You can say amen right there if you want to.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
There you go.
I think that one of the statements that most concerns me today is when I hear people say, but this is my truth, and it's all about my truth. And, you know, we have lived in what sociologists will call one of the most narcissistic generations that have ever lived. And so it's all about me. It's all about my emotions and my feelings. And it's not about anybody else or anything else. And unfortunately, that has crept into the church. And it's crept into a lot of these books. There are a lot of books that are written by Christian authors that seem to be good. And I just want to warn you, a lot of it is humanism. It's pure humanism. It is not Christianity. Because my truth has to be the truth.
Right.
So I can live things, I can experience things, I can go through things, I can have emotions, I can have feelings, and those things are all okay. But I need to line them up with what the Word tells me. And so ultimately, the truth about my whole situation and everything has to be the truth. And so that's where I just want to kind of give you a warning there to be careful when you hear a lot of talk about my truth, you know, what I am going through, what I believe, because it's not that those emotions aren't valid, but at the end of the day, what is the truth based on His Word in that whole situation?
Nós vivemos num tempo.
We live in a time.
Aonde uma transição aconteceu de fato.
A transition has happened.
Eu vou falar um pouco sobre isso daqui a pouco.
And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a minute.
Mas aonde em nome de ser autêntico.
But it's a transition that in the name of being authentic.
Nós estamos suavizando nossos pecados.
We are trying to make our sins lighter.
Em nome de ser autêntico.
And so in the name of being authentic.
Nós estamos ignorando coisas que vão contra a palavra.
We are ignoring things that go against the word of God.
Porque na verdade nós estamos colocando nossas experiências emocionais.
Because the truth is that we're taking our emotional experiences.
No mesmo nível da revelação da palavra.
We're putting them at the same level of the revelation of the word of God.
E nós estamos deixando no mesmo nível.
And so we're putting them at the same level.
Ao ponto que nós estamos vivendo a nossa experiência.
To the point where we live our experiences.
Como ponto de nós observamos a realidade.
And we say that that is how we should observe all of reality.
E estamos falando, eu estou sendo eu mesmo.
And so then we say, I'm just being myself.
Mas existe um problema aí.
But there's a problem with that.
Não existe a possibilidade de nós sermos nós mesmos.
There is no possibility for us to be ourselves.
Sem a revelação de Deus e da palavra.
Without the revelation of God and His Word.
A tentativa de ser você mesmo.
When you try to be yourself in that attempt.
Sem a revelação de Deus.
Without the revelation of God.
Você vai estar apenas supondo coisas sobre você.
You will just be assuming things about yourself.
Sobre as pessoas.
About other people.
Tentando acreditar coisas sobre você.
Trying to believe things about yourself.
E trazendo e pro absolutismo.
And bringing absolutism.
Aquilo que da sua experiência.
And making your experience absolute.
Mas nós ignoramos o fato.
But we truly ignore.
Que a queda é uma realidade.
The fact that the fall is reality.
Nós somos uma fábrica de ídolos.
We are a fabric or a plant of idols.
Nós temos a habilidade de adorar coisas.
We have the ability to worship things.
E chamar isso de Deus.
And then say that it's God.
Uma vez eu vi um professor cristão de filosofia cristã.
One time I heard a professor of Christian philosophy.
Ele falou que o Deus do cristão moderno.
And he said, the God of the modern Christian.
Parece mais com eles do que o Deus da Bíblia.
Looks more like themselves than it does the Bible.
Porque nós estamos adaptando tudo às nossa realidade.
We want to adapt everything to our personal reality.
Nós estamos valorizando as nossas emoções.
Well, we value our emotions.
No mesmo nível da revelação.
At the same level as His revelation.
Mas não existe possibilidade.
But there is not a possibility.
De conhecermos a nós mesmos.
For you to know yourself.
Sem conhecermos a Deus primeiro.
Without knowing God first.
Sem conhecer a Deus.
Without knowing God.
Como Ele se revelou.
As He revealed Himself to be.
Tudo que nós vamos fazer sobre nós ou sobre os outros.
Everything we will do about ourselves and about others.
São suposições.
Will only be suppositions.
Ou nós vamos pensar muito alto sobre nós.
So we're going to either think too highly of ourselves.
Ou muito baixo.
Or we'll think too lowly.
Sem a revelação central.
Without the central revelation.
I think that what Satan is really trying to do in this present age is it's this common theme that all roads lead to heaven. You've heard me talk about it in years past here, how I believe it's one of the most dangerous statements that we're making today and people are making, because they are using the word God and heaven, and well, they believe in God, they believe in heaven, and so they must agree with me. And so what they're trying to teach you and tell us is that all roads lead to heaven, but the Bible contradicts that very clearly. He says there is only one way. There's only one road, and he said it's a narrow road. And see, what the enemy wants you to do is think there's many gates, and they're wide open, and you just follow your own road, follow your own ideas and theology, and we'll all end up in the same place. And that's so wrong, because that's not what the Bible teaches us. Yeah. Right. It teaches us there's only one way. It is through Jesus Christ dying on the cross, believing that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of my faith, and that the Heavenly Father gave his only Son for you and I to die in the place of our sins. And only when we submit to the Lordship of Jesus in our life can we enter into a relationship with the Father forever. This is the road. This is the one narrow road. And anything else, you need to let it go. Okay, you gotta let it go and realize people are pushing. That's just a trick of the enemy. But the problem is this, is that you already touched on it. We're using catchphrases now, such as, I'm being real. Can I just be real and tell you that I'm questioning my faith? And I don't believe that this is the way I was taught is the way that's right. And what happens is now we got an audience of people who are waiting for anyone to denounce their faith even a little bit, especially people who have big followings, such as authors and big pastors and worship leaders. And when that happens, all the humanist society are clapping. Yes, yes, yes. How brave they are to come out. How brave they are to stand up. How brave. Why? Because they're pulling people away and pulling them away. And so, yes, the enemy is going to applaud that. And so we got to be smarter than that. And we got to, the whole thing is simply this. You've got to know God for yourself. Yeah. You got to know what the Word of God says. You got to know it for yourself, because if you put too much faith and trust in the one person or the one author or the one pastor, I don't care who they are, you're living through somebody else, and that's not the way Christianity was designed, that we would all have a personal relationship with the Father.
Sem o fundamento da palavra,
without the foundation of the word,
nós ficamos sem uma visão crítica das coisas.
We no longer have a critical vision of things.
E logo nós vamos estar sendo liderados por pessoas que não sabem onde estão indo.
And so then pretty soon we're going to be led by people who really don't know where they're going.
Eles não estão conhecendo a direção, porque estão perdidos neles mesmos.
They don't know the direction they're going into, and they're lost in themselves actually.
Mas algo que nós precisamos compreender.
But something we need to understand.
Uma transição aconteceu.
Is that a transition happened?
Nós saímos de um cristianismo teocêntrico.
We've left a theocentric or a God-centered Christianity.
Aonde o fundamento bíblico teológico era a base do que cremos.
Where the biblical foundation is the base of what we believe.
Nós nos transicionamos para um cristianismo antropocêntrico.
And so we have come into a Christianity that is people-centered.
Onde nós interpretamos e cremos a partir de nós.
Where we interpret things and we believe based on ourselves.
Não em Deus.
And not on God.
Inclusive a nossa visão de Deus.
And so including our vision of God.
É a partir de nós.
It's based on us.
Não naquilo que a Bíblia revelou.
Not necessarily based on what the Bible has revealed to us.
Mas uma coisa que nós precisamos prestar atenção nesse tempo.
And so something we need to pay attention to in these times.
É que o que a Bíblia nos mostra.
Is what the Bible shows us.
É que o cristianismo é um meio onde você interpreta a realidade não por você mesmo, mas a partir do Criador de todas as coisas.
Which is that Christianity is not something that you interpret based on yourself, but you're interpreting it on based on the God of all creation.
E isso traz consequências.
And that brings consequences.
Uma vez perguntaram para o C.S. Lewis.
One time they asked C.S. Lewis.
Se ele considerava o cristianismo uma religião a ser seguido.
If he considered Christianity to be the religion that you should follow.
Ele falou, olha, se você procura uma religião para se sentir bem.
And he said, well, if you're looking for a religion to feel good.
Eu não recomendo o cristianismo.
I don't recommend Christianity.
Porque o cristianismo começa com morte.
Because Christianity begins with death.
A vida cristã,
the Christian life,
começa com alguém perdendo.
Begins with someone losing.
É perder para ganhar.
Because you have to lose to win.
Você morre para viver.
You die to live.
Você sofre para alegria.
You suffer for joy.
Você não pode pular uma das partes.
You can't jump over one of those things.
É, essa é a realidade.
This is reality.
Para nós, temos esperança no futuro.
And so for us who have hope in the future,
uma morte teve que acontecer.
A death had to happen first.
Não existe ressurreição sem cruz, gente.
Because there is not resurrection without a cross.
Não tem.
There's not.
Então, nós perdemos esse sentido.
And we've lost this meaning.
Porque nós estamos baseando as coisas em nós mesmos.
And we've lost it because we're basing things on ourselves.
E um outro ponto que eu quero abordar aqui.
So one other point that I want to mention here.
É que nós estamos valorizando dons acima do fundamento.
Is that part of the problem is we are valuing gifts more than foundations.
Eu não tenho nada contra dons.
I have nothing against gifts.
Eu amo ver pessoas sendo usadas nos seus dons.
I love seeing people used in their gifts.
Eu amo ver o Espírito Santo usando as pessoas.
I love to see the Holy Spirit using people.
Mas não se engane.
But do not be deceived.
Não é porque Deus usa você que você quer dizer que você tem raízes fortes.
It does not mean that because God has used you, you have deep roots.
Right. Deus, hang on. I think you need to hear that, guys. Are you hearing what he's saying? Say it one more time. It's worth repeating. Say it again.
Não é porque Deus usa você que isso significa que você tem raízes fortes.
It's not because God uses you. This means that you have deep roots.
Deus pode usar quem ele quiser.
God can use whoever he wants to.
Deus usa ateus.
God uses atheists.
Deus usou uma mula na Bíblia.
God used a mule in the Bible.
Ele usa quem ele quiser para o seu propósito.
He uses whoever he wants to use for his purposes.
Não seja orgulhoso porque Deus está usando você.
So don't be proud because God is using you.
Entenda algo.
Understand something.
Se alegre porque seu nome está escrito no livro da vida.
Your joy and pride should be that your name is written in the book of life.
Sua vida passou da morte, você passou da morte para vida.
Because you have gone from death to life.
You know, I think it's so key that you're hitting that because that's what happens in America. We see people using their gifts. And when they have beautiful gifts, we start idolizing them, sharing them on social media. We start following them on social media. And next thing you know, we have some 20-something old worship leader who's leading thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, even some of them millions of people are following them. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, use those gifts to lead people to Jesus. But then don't be shocked, though, when people with not deep roots begin to fall away. Mm-hmm. We can't be shocked, and we can't let that rock our world. We can't let this person. Can I just be very candid and honest with you today? If you want to know why Destiny Church, the way we do our worship, the way we do it, we have 7-8 strong worship leaders. Any one of them could be leading in this ministry and leading us all in worship traditionally, like one person and doing a great job. But I don't want anybody to be idolized so much that we put all of our stock into one person. And then I had a conversation with somebody who doesn't go to church here, who went to another larger church in town a couple months ago, and they said, you know what? Man, we just lost our worship pastor. We loved him. That's why we started going there, is because this worship pastor, and I guess we're going to have to change churches now, but find a new church, because he just announced last Sunday that he's leaving and going to a different church. He's moving out of state. And I was like, they're like, we have to come and visit you. I'm like, oh, well, great. That's exactly what we want. Somebody who's going to leave when the worshiper leaves, you know. And so this is why we, number one, we use multiple worship leaders so we can use multiple gifts and let multiple people be using. But listen, we can't idolize people just because they have a gift. We can't put them up there. Then when they fall or they walk away, that we, oh, what happened? What's wrong? You know, and we have people who are 10 miles wide an influence, but only an inch deep in the roots on what God's word really means. Don't let giftings mistake for maturity. Are you hearing that? Don't let someone who has strong gifts mistake that for spiritual maturity. And spiritual maturity is something we're all called to have. We should all have this. Look at our first verse here. I want you to see this in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus was talking about the end times, and look what he says, and see if it's not relevant to what we're facing exactly today. He goes, you'll hear about nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. What that was saying is simply this, that places that don't usually have earthquakes and famines will start having those. We're having earthquakes in Oklahoma now. Come on now. I'm telling you, it's happening in all kinds of places. Then you will be handed over, be persecuted. He goes, these things are just the beginning of the return of the Lord, the beginning of the birth pains. He goes, they'll be put to death. People have been being killed, martyred. Come on now. People are losing their heads for the gospel right now as we talk. You'll be hated by all the nations because of me. And look at what he says. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith. So this is what Jesus, we shouldn't be shocked when we're seeing these things happen, because Jesus told us these things would happen. He goes, many will turn away from the faith. They will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many. So how can you not be deceived? How can you not be deceived? If you don't have a foundation of the word of the Lord for yourself, you'll be easily deceived. And it's easy when we're led just by emotion. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with emotion. As pastors, we want to create an emotional experience where you come in and your heart engages and your mind engages, your spirit is engaging, and you feel, man, I feel good when I worship the Lord. I feel like I'm connecting to the Lord. My heart is full. My joy is full. I'm getting strengthened. Our emotions are running. Listen, there's nothing wrong with clapping. There's nothing wrong with kneeling. There's nothing wrong with crying. Nothing wrong with dancing and jumping. There's nothing wrong with all those things. They're emotional things. But when, let me just ask you this. If there comes a day, let's say in 8 years, because of the way things are pressing, they may come along and say, you know what? You can no longer teach out of the Bible because now it's too offensive. If you think that's not coming up, you're sadly mistaken, because it's already being pushed in legislation. They're already pushing to limit pastors what they can teach and preach because the Bible is too offensive. So let's say in 8 years we have different administration who comes along and says, you know what? We're going to outlaw teaching the Bible from now on because you can no longer be offensive to people. And you have to now go in hiding in your own home and maybe with a few people, your family, maybe another family, you're meeting in the basement or you're meeting in your living room, and there's no lights and video and worship team and band that we have so greatly to have, and we love having all those things. But if those things are all taken away, can I still have worship singing a cappella with a few people in my home? Can I still open up the scripture and begin to divide it for my family and hear God's word for me and my family and for my friends? You've got to be able to do this, because when emotions fade, God's truth will remain. When false prophets go, God's truth will remain. Are you hearing me? What we're trying to say today is this, is that our foundation for every one of us can't be in somebody else. It can only be in truth of God's word, who he is and who he says he is. And I must be able to divide that and to interpret that and to read that for myself as a true Christian.
Nós, na verdade, toda essa situação...
The truth is, in all of this situation,
é uma denúncia à nossa espiritualidade também.
There it is denouncing our spirituality.
Nós sempre olhamos para uma referência.
We always look to a reference.
E tudo bem por
aí. And that's okay.
Mas a referência não pode ser o ponto de partida da crença.
But that reference can't be the point of your belief system.
E o que está acontecendo?
So what's happened,
nós temos uma vida espiritual,
we
nós
have
podemos
a,
chamar assim.
We have a spiritual life. Let's call it that, a spiritual life.
Tão pobre.
And it's so poor.
Tão vazia.
It's so empty.
Que nós levantamos alguém.
That we raise up someone.
Para ser a referência que me dá sentido para continuar.
To be a reference to me so that I can continue on.
É por isso que nós pegamos líderes de adoração para isso.
That's why we have worship leaders that become that to
pastores para isso.
Pastors.
E nós não temos um senso crítico com essas pessoas.
And we don't have a critical thinking, an ability to have critical thinking about these different people.
Porque são pontos de referências absolutos para nós.
Because these have become absolute points of reference to us.
Mas o que nós ignoramos?
But what we've ignored.
É que o nosso coração é uma fábrica de ídolos.
Is that our hearts are a fabric, a plant of idols.
Nós não observamos isso.
And we've not observed that.
Como evangélicos, né?
And for the gospel, for example.
Como evangelhos.
And we as Christians, as evangelical
nós
Christians.
Nós nos orgulhamos de nós não adoramos ídolos.
We're proud of ourselves because we say we don't worship idols.
Nós falamos, olha, nós não temos nenhuma imagem na parede.
We don't have any images on our walls.
Nós não nos prostramos diante de imagens.
We don't lay down before our
nós
idols
não somos
or images.
Idólatras.
We're not idolaters.
A pergunta que eu quero fazer aqui.
But the question I have.
Será que não é mais fácil destruir o ídolo feito de barro?
Do you not think that it's easier to destroy an idol made of man's hands
do que destruir um ídolo feito com material do coração?
Than to destroy an idol that's actually made of our hearts.
E nós temos muito ídolos no nosso coração.
Because we have so many idols in our hearts.
Pessoas que nós colocamos como referência.
People we put up as references.
Para suprir nosso vazio espiritual.
As we try to fulfill our emptiness that we have spiritually.
Nós vivemos o cristianismo
we live Christianity,
de um momento.
In moments.
Basicamente, nós abraçamos a nossa comunidade de fé
we embrace our community of faith,
como uma religião paralela às nossas vidas.
And it's like a parallel religion to our lives.
Nós temos a nossa igreja.
We have our church,
até o momento de nós não ficarmos chateados.
Until the moment we get mad.
O pastor faz alguma coisa.
The pastor's done something.
O líder da adoração vai embora.
The worship leader left.
Alguém da igreja fez algo comigo.
Somebody at the church did something to me.
E é tempo de buscar uma outra comunidade.
And so then it's time to find another community.
Como a outra religião.
And it's like another religion.
Nós vivemos um dualismo.
We end up living dualism.
Quando na verdade
is,
o que nós estamos tentando suprir
what we're trying to fill
é um vazio existencial
is an existential emptiness
espiritual.
Spiritual.
Isso denuncia a nossa pobreza espiritual.
And that denounces our spiritual poverty.
Por exemplo, tem crentes, tem cristãos.
So for example, there's Christians.
O único momento que ele tem com a Bíblia
that the only moment they open their Bible
é o momento que o pastor prega.
Is the moment the pastor preaches.
E ele acredita que é cristão.
And so then we say we believe we're Christians.
E nós acreditamos que nós estamos servindo a Deus.
And we believe that with that we're serving God.
Um outro ponto bem interessante aí.
So another point that's real interesting
é com a palavra adoração.
Is the word worship.
Nós confundimos as coisas.
We confuse things.
A vida humana.
The human life.
É uma vida de adoração.
Is a life of worship.
Tudo que fazemos.
Everything we do.
Tem que ser para a glória de Deus.
Has to be for the glory of God.
O que nós fizemos
but what we've done
é reduzir a adoração
is we've reduced worship
ao momento que nós cantamos antes da palavra.
To the moment that we sing before the word.
E aí nós temos uma vida dualista, dividida.
And so then we live a divided life, a dualist life.
Onde nós estamos buscando a comunidade de fé
where we are going to our community of faith
para sobreviver
so that we can survive,
não para servir.
Not to serve.
A comunidade de fé
our community of faith
se tornou uma sobrevivência
becomes our survival,
não um lugar de serviço.
Instead of our a place of service.
Oh, yes. E quando eu não sou mais servido
and so when I am not being served any longer
eu vou viver a minha pobreza espiritual.
I will live in my spiritual poverty.
Eu tenho um conselho aqui para os pais.
I want to give some counsel to parents.
Porque nós temos vivido isso na nossa família.
Because we've lived this in our family.
Tentado viver uma vida de exemplo.
trying to live a life of example to them.
Alguns pais, o único meio que seus filhos ouvem com a palavra é na sala das crianças no domingo.
Because for some of you, the only time your children hear the word of God is on Sunday mornings in their class.
Você deixa a formação espiritual do teu filho na mão do professor de crianças.
And spiritual formation is left in the hands of the teacher on Sunday mornings.
Quando, na verdade,
but the truth is,
ele deveria vir no domingo,
they should come on Sunday,
só para confirmar o testemunho que ele tem na semana.
For the confirmation of the testimony that they have throughout the week.
Entenda uma coisa.
I want you to understand something.
Exemplo não é uma forma, uma das formas de ensinar.
Your example is not just one way to teach your children.
Mas único exemplo.
But it is the only way to teach your children.
Como cristãos,
so as Christians,
o nosso testemunho,
our testimony,
nosso compromisso,
our agreement, our promise,
não está relacionado ao que sentimos.
Is not based on what we feel.
Ou os nossos desejos de futuro.
Or on our future desires.
Porque se nós formos seguir o que sentimos,
because if we followed what we felt,
tem dias que eu não quero vir para a igreja.
There's days I don't want to go to church.
Tem dias que eu não quero ver ninguém.
There's days I don't want to see anyone.
Se nós formos seguir aquilo que sentimos,
and so if we follow what we feel,
como verdade,
as truth,
tem dias que eu quero matar a minha esposa.
There's days I want to kill my wife.
Ah, ninguém aqui faz
no
isso.
One else has ever felt that way, right?
Ninguém.
No one.
Ninguém. Dia perguntaram pro D.R. Carson.
One day they asked who?
D.R. Carson.
D.R. Carson. He's a theologian.
Perguntaram se ele comemorou 50 anos de casamento com a esposa.
He had celebrated 50 years of marriage.
Se dia ele pensou em divórcio.
And then they asked him if he'd ever thought about divorce.
Ele falou divórcio não, mas homicídio sim.
He said never divorce, but homicide yes.
Se nós formos seguir aquilo que sentimos,
so if we followed everything we felt,
e tentar usar a Bíblia para dar base para isso,
and try to use the Bible to give a basis for it,
nós vamos viver uma vida espiritual pobre, terrível.
We will live a horrible, poverty-stricken spiritual life.
Nosso compromisso é com a verdade.
Because our promise, our agreement is with the truth.
Deixa seus filhos te ver orando.
So let your children see you praying.
Ore com eles.
Pray with them.
Leia a palavra com
read
eles.
The word with them.
Ensine a doutrina para eles.
Teach doctrine to them.
Para que quando eles chegar na comunidade de fé,
so that when they come to their community of faith,
ele não seja um consumidor, mas alguém que serve.
They're not here just to consume, but they're here to serve.
Oh, so good, so good. Yeah, amen. I believe it's time that we begin to value God's word more than we value our feelings.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me? It's time that we begin to put value on God's word as the absolute. There's nothing wrong with having those feelings, but what I'm telling you is this, that they cannot trump, they cannot come above the word of the Lord. I want to read one more short verse as our musicians are coming. Hebrews 6:1, look what it says there. Paul was teaching all of us. He said, listen, it's time for us to move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. And so, listen, elementary, I'm brought in by my emotions. My emotions will bring me in, and they, all right, I'm feeling like something's wrong in my life, and my emotions will lead me to make a decision, then I start thinking about it, all right, I am lost without Jesus. I have a revelation. My mind realizes I need Jesus, and so I begin to confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then you come in, and then, man, I really like it when this week I really got something because they were singing my favorite song and my emotions were connected. Or my favorite worship leader was leading today. And so, man, I really got more out of worship today than ever before. Or Pastor Gene's really talking about a subject that I really, really like and it connects with my emotions. If we're not careful, everything's built around our emotions. And so the mature person says, I've got to learn to eat besides just on Sunday. Immaturity people, remember I teach you this when we talk about the table, you know, the chair, the open chair, and we talk about the table, and I tell you how the immature stay in the high chair, say, feed me, feed me, feed me. That's the immature, right? At some point, When they get to be a teenager, they can't fit in that high chair, right? And it looks awful silly if the teenager's sitting there saying, feed me. You're like, no, get up, feed yourself. Get up. Dad, can I have some money for gas? Get a job. Dad, you gave sister some money? Yeah. She's 13. You're 26. Get a job. That's the way we feel. And I think that's kind of the way today that we got to say to ourselves, listen, we got to get beyond just an emotional response. We got to know the word of the Lord for ourselves. We got to be able to feed ourselves. Listen, I should be able to. Why can't I read one verse a day? Why can't I read one verse a day and just say, God, I'm putting this in my heart today. May it feed my spirit. I've got to learn. How do we teach them to mature all day, Hillary? What do we just say? Someone wants to say, all right, I'm ready to mature. I believe the first thing is obviously spending time for the word of God yourself. What's some other things you would say to them?
Definitely time in prayer. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything super spiritual. I actually would advise you for it not to be. If you want to be real with Jesus. You know, if you want to put your truth out there, put it out to Jesus, because he'll tell you what's true and what's not. And I think, you know, especially as parents, you know, Aldai mentioned that, but these kids are growing up in the most difficult generation that has ever been on the face of this earth. And I'm serious, parents. If you don't change the way you live, you will lose your kids. Because they are hearing so many voices on social media. They are hearing so many voices on TV and with their friends, that if they do not have a spiritual formation in their home, they're going to search it out somewhere. And it probably won't be the faith of their fathers if they've not been taught it. And so we talk about hard days to come. You know, we always think, oh, it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while. You know what's going to happen? It's going to be there so fast. And then you're going to say, I'm not ready, but I'm not ready. And so you have to start today. Don't put it off. And I promise you, it's hard at first. If you're not used to reading your Bible, you're not used to praying, you're not used to having that communion with the Holy Spirit, it's hard at first, and everything will distract you, and anything that the enemy can put before you to keep you from doing it will happen. But if you plug through, because you know that it is literally life and death, there will come a point when that will be the greatest joy of your life. The greatest joy of your day is when you speak to him. And so it's something that when you know it's truth, you just do it. And so I think that's part of maturity. Maturity comes when you just do what you know you're supposed to do. You know, we get up every morning and we go to work because we know that's what we're supposed to do. And then especially, you know, there's times then you end up in a job that you love, and then it's a joy to go to that job. It's not, I'm going every morning because I know that I have to, but I get to go. And I think that that is a lot like spiritual maturity.
Nós ignoramos o fato que a vida é uma vida litúrgica.
We ignore the fact that life is liturgy.
E a repetição.
And the repetition.
É uma forma de nós sermos ensinados a naquele ponto.
It's the way that we teach ourselves about those certain things.
Uma dica que eu dou aqui.
So, some advice I want to give you.
Aprenda a ler a Bíblia.
Learn to read your Bible.
Não use a Bíblia como aquelas caixinhas de promessa.
Don't use it as like a promise box.
Onde você abre?
Where you're just going to open it?
Lê um versículo.
Read a verse.
Fecha.
Close it.
E ora.
And pray.
Não faz isso.
Don't do that.
Na verdade,
the truth is,
a Bíblia é a história de Deus.
The Bible is the story of God.
E nós tivemos o privilégio de sermos inseridos nessa história.
And we have the privilege of being inserted into that story.
Não se engane.
Do not deceive yourself.
Não foi você que trouxe Deus para tua história.
You didn't bring God into your story.
Ele capturou você para a história dele.
He captured you into his story.
E a Bíblia nos conta isso.
And the Bible tells us that.
Se emocione com essa história.
Get emotional about this story.
Leia como as coisas foram formadas.
Read how things were formed.
Uma narrativa correta.
A true narrative.
Às vezes nós lemos uma literatura.
Sometimes we'll read literature.
Nós ficamos emocionados.
And we get emotional by it.
Minha esposa ama livro de ficção.
My wife loves fiction.
E às vezes ela lê.
And sometimes she reads it.
Eu começo a ouvir choro.
And I hear crying.
E ela está chorando lendo.
She's crying as she reads.
O que está acontecendo
contigo? What's happening to you?
Eu li uma coisa muito boa aqui.
I read something really good here.
Eu não sou de ficção.
I'm not the fiction reader.
Eu gosto de livro teológico.
I like theological books.
Mais acadêmico, mais filosófico.
I like things that are more academic and philosophical.
Ela não suporta isso.
She can't stand those kinds of things.
Mas os opostos se atraem, né? Então.
But you know they say opposites attract, so.
Mas quando eu leio a Bíblia.
But when I read the Bible,
eu estou lendo a história.
I'm reading story, history.
Eu estou lendo não uma história mítica.
And I'm not reading a mythical story.
Eu estou lendo a história onde os mitos se baseiam.
I'm reading the story that the myths were based on.
Aonde onde a criação está contando.
Where creation is telling its
eu
story.
Eu sei do amanhã.
I know tomorrow.
Porque a história de Deus.
Because the story of God.
Que eu fui inserido.
That I was inserted into.
Me conta sobre ela.
Tells me about it.
O que me fascina sobre a palavra.
So what fascinates me about the word.
É que nós sorrimos porque conhecemos o final da história.
Is that we can smile because we already know the end of the story.
Então leia para os teus livros, para os teus filhos, a Bíblia assim.
So read the Bible to your children.
Para você assim.
Read it to yourself like that.
Se emocione com e fique chateado com a estupidez humana.
Be emotional about it and get mad at the stupidness of humanity.
Você vai encontrar muita estupidez humana aqui.
You're going to find really stupid humanity in here too.
Mas você vai encontrar muito amor que
But
nos captura.
You're also going to find lots of love that captures us.
Então, essa é a dica.
So that's my advice.
Did you guys receive anything today? Is this good for you? Thank you. One more time, let's honor them today. Hillary Aldi, thank you guys for opening up your heart to us. In just a second, we're going to pass our offering buckets around to receive an offering. We want to give a special love offering to our missionaries that are here. We just want to be a blessing to them. I promise you, everything that's given in this offering will go 100% to their ministry. And you can do that. We're going to pass the buckets. Anything you give is cash. If you want an envelope, you can ask for an envelope and somebody will get you one. If you're writing checks out, you can put on envelope or check and put Brazil. Anything that's listed Brazil will go to them. On the drop-down box, on the giving box, you can give through your phone as well. And you can also give there and you'll see the Brazil drop-down box. You can give there as well for them. Let's go ahead and pray over this offering and then I'll ask our ushers to pass those buckets. Father, we thank you today, God, for the gift of Hillary and Aldaí to the body of Christ, to us today, what they're doing throughout the Amazon region. And Father, we just pray that you continue to anoint them. God, go before them. God, open up doors of favor and blessing, Lord, as they go. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the seeds that have been planted, for the many ministers that are coming out of that region. Lord, the many pastors and worship pastors and missionaries and teachers, church planters that are coming out from under them. And God, I thank you, Lord, that we can be a small part today of blessing them. And God, we want to do that. So may we be quick to obey what God's asking us to give today. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet as we close with this song and our ushers begin to pass the buckets today. Let's give to them. What an awesome time today. I just love that. I love to be able to open up and just to hear the heart of, I mean, we had three preachers preaching and we still got out in a decent time today. Okay, that's good. And one of them was being translated. So I think we did really good. I think we should get a hand, right, for accomplishing that. Let me tell you, next week we're going to start a new series here at Destiny. Now, I know you've heard about, how many of you have seen the books, you know, the math for dummies or the computer engineering for dummies, auto mechanics for dummies. You've seen all that whole line of books. All right, next week we're going to start a new series called Wisdom for Dummies. There you go. Wisdom for Dummies. Next week we're going to be talking about how to grow in wisdom. The Bible's very clear, as we talked about today, the Bible's very clear how we can grow in wisdom. We're going to start that series next week. It's going to be an awesome series. God bless you. Turn to somebody. Give a big high five and say it was good to be with you today. We'll see all the teams tonight at 6 o'clock.